high-speed, affordable internet access is essential for almost any economic activity these days. And agricultural and rural communities are no different. Whether it's agricultural production, manufacturing, mining, forestry, e-connectivity, telemedicine, and education, it is no longer an amenity for some. It's essential for everyone. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has been investing in rural telecommunications infrastructure to help increase access to affordability to high-speed internet. Hello, and welcome to Hashtag Local Gov Matters. I'm Gwen Gunther, president of Wheeler Reports. Today, I'm joined by Frank Frasetto, the Wisconsin State Director of Rural Development for the United States Department of Agriculture. Hello, Frank.
Hello, good morning. That's quite a mouthful.
It is.
Thanks for having me on board today, Gwen. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you coming. A recent report by the Federal Communications Commission says that 80% of the 24 million households that do not have reliable, affordable, high-speed internet are in rural areas. Can you break that down? What does that mean in Wisconsin?
Well, in Wisconsin, what that means basically is we have a lot of rural areas, of course.
Right.
And in those communities that are the anchor of some of the of our rural areas, you know, they're going to have high speed internet, or they're going to have some level of internet service. But the question there is, when you start losing your density and you start getting out into the hinterland, there's no return on investment. So private providers aren't really going to be looking at building out their internet service. So we need to come in as part of the federal government and try to help as much as we possibly can, because as you pointed out in the introduction, we know that internet connection provides for that economic foundation that is going to help our rural communities enjoy economic prosperity.
One of the things when we have talked about broadband and internet and access before is the last mile. It seems like you can get internet to the towns and the villages. It's that last mile that is so cost prohibitive that the providers just don't want to invest in that. Is that something that you guys are trying to help with? Are there different mechanisms for helping with that last mile?
Yes. The long answer is yes, we're trying to help. But just like it was back in the 1930s when the Rural Electrification Act came around and we were providing that last mile of electricity, the same is true in e-connectivity or internet service. It's that density problem that is the case. And so there is no return on investment for the private for-profit organizations, and we need to do as much as we possibly can to work with other local and county level governments so that we can pool our resources to try and provide that particular service.
So when we talk about rural communities and agriculture, I mean, is there a size that you're looking at? I mean, clearly you're not trying to help Madison get more internet and more access, but you know, there are communities that are still not as big as Madison or Milwaukee, but maybe considering having their own services. Is there a general size area that you start working with or you start looking to help?
Sure. On the way over here this morning, I was reading something that actually I found kind of interesting because I didn't know the number at the time, but there is a we got an email from somebody who was looking for some assistance and had asked about the definition of rural. And in the research this person was doing, they found that there are 75 different definitions of what rural is across the federal family of agencies.
75 different definitions.
Yes, okay. 75. That is correct. Now, in the case of rural development, the number is a little bit smaller than that. But as an example, a community of under 50,000 is eligible for some of the business and industry programs that we provide. The community facilities is 20,000 size communities. And then we go down to 10,000 in some in our water and environmental programs, and then down to 5,000 for some of our other programs. So as you can see, there isn't one number that defines rural, but it just depends on what particular program you might be looking for access to. Now, in the case of the ReConnect, which we'll get into a little bit later, we can talk a little bit about some of the benefits that came out of this particular pilot program. But long and the short of it is, it anything under 50,000, and then it, of course it depends on whatever the different program is.
Wow, how many different programs does the USDA run for rural communities?
We have a little over 44 programs that are out there. A lot of them are niche programs, if you will, but the best way to describe that is we are an economic development arm of the federal government, and our focus is on rural America.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk specifically about the ReConnect broadband program that you just alluded to. So stay tuned.
The Wisconsin Counties Association represents Wisconsin's 72 counties at both the state and federal level. Learn more about how counties impact your community at wicounties.org.
Welcome back to Hashtag Local Gov Matters. I'm Gwen Gunther of the Wheeler Report, and I'm joined today by Frank Frasetto, the Rural Development Director for the USDA in Wisconsin. So I was initially talking with the counties and the league about what we wanted to do our podcast on, and an email was forwarded to me about the ReConnect broadband program that you are working on. And you guys just finished a pilot program, and you're moving into another phase of it. But can you start with the basics? What is this program?
Sure, Gwen. The ReConnect program had its genesis in a 2018 appropriations bill, the Consolidated Appropriations Act. And in their wisdom, Congress essentially set some parameters for rural development through our Rural Utilities Service to develop a new program that would be administered by the Rural Utilities Service. And we spent a significant amount of time working with internet service providers, working with the general public, working with the committees, the congressional committees, to try and figure out how best we could take this $600 million that was authorized and funded and deliver that into our rural communities. So we just finished on Friday. So let me put it this way. So we ended up developing three different product lines. One is 100% grant. The other is a 50-50 loan and grant combination. And the third product is 100% loan. And just about anybody can apply for these dollars, with the exception of limited liability partnerships, which are too easy to dissolve and it's a little bit too risky. And a company that does not have 2 years worth of audited financials. So essentially we're trying to make sure that the applicants who are trying to get access to these dollars is a concern, is a viable concern. $600 million, if any of that gets wasted, obviously that's a big deal. So we want to make sure that that doesn't happen. But municipalities, for-profits, not-for-profits, those that are already in the business can be applying for these dollars. And as I showed you a little bit earlier today, we're trying to make sure that a lot of different entities are involved in the application process so that people can score, the applicants can score a little bit better. So, for example, Governor Evers had written a letter and had affirmed that, yes, Wisconsin has a broadband strategy in place, a strategic plan, that we are trying to make it easier for local communities to have access to this so that the right-of-way issues are mitigated, local ordinances are, beneficial to support this type of critical infrastructure. That helps an applicant when the state is fully behind whatever it is we're doing. The reason why that's important is because of those three product lines, $200 million was set aside for each one. The first closed on May 31st. That was for the grant only. And there were somewhere in the neighborhood of 78 applications that came in nationwide to the tune of a little over $550 million, obviously oversubscribed.
Right.
So those applicants that are going to gain access to that those grant dollars are going to want to make sure that their applications score, because it's driven that way. It's not supposed to be some subjective type of approach, but rather very objective.
Before you go on, I just want to clarify a few numbers that you've said. So the $600 million that you're talking about, is that nationwide or is that just Wisconsin?
Nationwide.
So you said that 75 applicants applied for this $200 million that's 100% grant program. 75 applicants nationwide?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So we're talking the whole country, not just Wisconsin right here. All right.
And we did have a couple of applications that came in from Wisconsin.
Okay.
But again, they're going to need to go up against everybody else in the country. And there's nothing that I can do about it from my perspective.
Right.
Nor would I, because I think it's important that obviously we would support Wisconsin applications. But when you consider the fact that it's going to be all of us together that are, when I say all of us, I'm talking about the state level government, local government, all of us are going to try and do whatever we can to make sure that we build out critical infrastructure and broadband.
So if I'm a local government entity or anybody that you said qualifies to apply for these grants, am I applying for these grants to put lines in the ground to actually provide the internet access? Am I looking to just support companies who are already doing this and help them expand their business? What are these grants being used for?
Sure. I think it's a little bit of all of that.
Okay.
You know, there may be a company that is partnering with a local unit of government and looking for them to help build out the infrastructure, because again, the return on investment may not be there. So it could be the physical infrastructure. It could be, and you can, by the way, anybody can go to the ReConnect website and find a lot of this information.
Perfect.
So why that's important is because there's another round that's going to be taking place. This first round was only round one. We have some additional dollars that were appropriated in the 2019 appropriations of $550 million. So there's some additional money that's going to be coming down, and obviously we're working on the details right now, but we expect next fiscal year we'll be making another announcement for the round of funding. But more specific to your question, there is a lot of if we're building out the infrastructure, I'm not going to be, and I'm not in the business of being an internet service provider, I'm not going to start.
Right.
I'm working on the infrastructure and then partnering with the provider who is going to be having access to that particular infrastructure. Similar to, a transmission company building a transmission line, but they're not the ones providing the electricity necessarily. So similar to something like that. I don't know if that helps.
It does. It does.
That's your question.
Great. So how do these... You know, if I'm a township or I'm a county in Wisconsin and you said that there's another round coming, how do I find out about this? How do I start the application process? You know, do I have to have an approval from my town board? Do I have to have all of this documentation ahead of time? What's the best place for communities that want to do this to start?
Well, I'll be frank with you. I think the best way is to go to the frequently asked questions on the ReConnect website.
Excellent.
That should help you out. There are a lot of communities that have their, it's escaping me right now, but they're basically, it's like their economic development arm.
Okay.
They've built out an authority, basically. So some towns may and counties and villages and small cities may already be ready in terms of having their vehicle to apply
okay.
and to be that financial arm. Some towns and small governments that don't have it, you know, may need to set up their own authority. But obviously, going through the board and all of that type of organizational stuff, I'm sure towns can get information by calling the counties association or,
or
by
league.
Calling the league. Exactly.
Right.
So, you know, they may be getting into something that they have been thinking about, but just hadn't been ready to pull the trigger. And again, if it turns out that we have a similar type of rollout of round two with a grant combination, you know, that obviously is an incentive for a town that is interested in maybe borrowing or general obligation debt, something like that.
Can a municipality or a county or any of these entities that apply, can they put in an application? Do they just put in a plain application and then you guys decide whether they qualify for the 100% grant or the 50-50, or do they apply for one specifically, and can they apply for all three?
Good question, Gwen. If they are applying for the grant, it is for the grant only. We don't make the decision on where to plug them in.
Okay.
It's the applicant's call which one they're going to be applying for. And I believe it's only one application.
So you get to choose ahead of time.
It's your choice. and if it's a strong application, you know, fingers crossed that you really added as many points as you possibly can, like you brought in, you know.
You showed me a graph. So can you tell me what some of the things are that help somebody score when they're applying?
Sure. Ways to maximize your score. The rurality. Boy, that's a tough word.
Rurality.
The rurality of the proposed funded service area.
Okay.
So that kind of gets to your point that you made earlier about that last mile.
Right.
That would be your rurality, low densities. We're in a very rural area. A number of farms served, a number of businesses served. Healthcare, if that's a part of it. Critical community facilities. Things of that nature that really require that e-connectivity,
right,
in small rural communities.
I would think, as you talked about businesses in an area, one thing that would be essential for both counties and municipalities and townships to understand is how many businesses do they have in their district that are not necessarily a building. How many people are running businesses out of their homes that just need internet access? And are they barely getting by right now? Would they do better business? Would it help their communities if they had better internet access to do their business from their home?
Yeah, that's a very good point, Gwen, because one of the key elements of the ReConnect program is the definition of e-connectivity.
Oh.
So you can go into certain areas and you're looking at, you know, 3.1. You know, go back to the late 1990s, 3.1 was state of the art. It's not anymore.
Not anymore.
No. But the definition for an applicant through the ReConnect program, they have to provide a minimum of 25
okay.
megs down, 3 megs up.
Okay.
Exactly. And the definition of underserved is 10.1 or less.
Oh, wow. That's a big difference,
It is a huge difference. And the other element of this particular program is that definition. Because in some of the other programs through the Rural Utility Service, that definition is the number of providers.
Okay.
So if you have one provider, you're served.
Right.
It's kind of like a sanitary district where you have that proposed sanitary sewer line,
right,
which is a 20-year out picture, but you don't have sewer service just yet.
Yep.
You're in the area. Similar to this right here, in addition to going back to that definition of rurality, if you're breaking down the proposed funded service area, 90% of households need not have, shouldn't have, or won't have access to internet service.
Okay.
So, you know, that is going to be in your preferred funded service area and as part of your application.
Right.
So, you know, those are some of the definitions that are important to recognize. In addition to that number, there's that middle mile.
Right.
So let's say you've got a community that's got service and you have a small burg over here.
That doesn't.
And you'd like that to be your proposed funded service area, you can use some of these dollars to get you from the community that has internet access out to this area that does
not. That does not.
Right.
Okay, excellent. Well, stay tuned. There's more to come.
The League of Wisconsin Municipalities advocates for Wisconsin's 600 cities and villages, speaking up for local democracy and common sense citizen-led government. Learn more at lwm-info.org.
You're listening to Hashtag Local Gov Matters. I'm Gwen Gunther of the Wheeler Report, and today's guest is Frank Frasetto, the Rural Development Director for the USDA in Wisconsin. So I want to give you the opportunity to touch base on any programs or projects that Wisconsinites need to know about that maybe I haven't asked you about specifically yet.
Well, thanks, Gwen. I really appreciate the opportunity to share a little bit more about what we do at Rural Development. And I think the best way to describe it is we're the economic development arm of USDA with a focus on our rural communities. This is what we do. And all the different programs that we have are centered around those type of projects that best allow economic prosperity and quality of life in rural communities. The old saying that our programs could build a community from underground and up is exactly true, because we have the water and waste infrastructure facilities that's what we provide to mm-hmm. communities. We provide the critical infrastructure of the community facilities, healthcare, daycare, libraries, senior centers, town halls, police and fire departments. You know, we do an awful lot of, we provide grants for fire trucks and ambulances and those type of critical needs. We have a very robust single-family housing direct and guaranteed program. The guaranteed portion of that is we work with our partner lenders who give out a loan. You have the rural development guarantee and you have the VA guarantee and all of that. So
okay.
This is for low and moderate income and very low income individuals. We have also in our housing department, we have programs that allow for rehabilitation and grants of up to $7,500 for our seniors, those over 62, to help rehabilitate, whether it's a sanitary system or roofing or things of that nature. We also have a multifamily housing program that allows for, again, the revitalization and preservation grants. And we work in concert with WHEDA, W-H-E-D-A, that has the tax credits.
Right.
Because a lot of the projects that we have require those tax credits in order to be affordable.
Okay.
So a developer may not be able to make a project work because, again, the idea is we're trying to help low and very low income individuals. And so you don't charge as much in rents.
Right.
So if you're going to take on a huge project and rehabilitate it, obviously you're going to need a return on investment. So, again, we work very closely with WHEDA so that when they put it out that they're thinking rural, not just urban Milwaukee. So
right.
It's that constant. We want to make sure that we're out in front of people. And then also, we have our business programs and
okay.
renewable energy programs. That's a nice one because, again, as you're trying to squeeze profits out of your business, if you have very old lighting, you can tap into some of our programs and get a very decent product that will help you upgrade your electricity and, again, saving money in the long run.
Right, and energy efficiency programs and
exactly,
things like that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. And where we do connect with farmers is we have a value-added producer grant program so that if someone is taking a product and wants to turn it into something better and maybe make a little bit more money, the value-added producer grant is something that I would encourage people to go after. So, you know, we're talking about maybe a retail operation on the farm selling butter and ice cream and yogurt and various things like that that are being manufactured on the product that the cows are delivering or that you're growing in the back 40.
Well, it seems to me like the U.S. Department of Agriculture does a lot more than just agriculture that people probably don't know a lot about. So I would definitely encourage people to go to your website and find out more about some of the programs that you're offering. And definitely to any of our listeners or communities that are interested in getting involved in the ReConnect program, you'll have more information on your website where they can gather as they want to start going into that next round of funding and some of the grants and loans that you guys are going to be providing.
Absolutely. And that website is reconnect.usda.gov.
reconnect.usda.gov. Perfect. All right. Well, that's the end of today's podcast. I really want to thank you for coming, Frank. This has been fabulous. I've been learning so much from you.
Thanks very much for having me, Gwen.
For additional information or links to any specific documents, including the website for ReConnect, you can go to today's blog post for the podcast, thewheelerreport.com, and check out the details. I want to thank our partners in community media, Oshkosh Radio 101.9 FM, Rice Lake Radio 105.5 FM, Sun Prairie Radio 103.5 FM, and Wapaka Radio 96.3 FM. Thank you to the League of Wisconsin Municipalities and the Wisconsin Counties Association for working with the Wheeler Report on this podcast. And thank you, as always, to Jackie Johnson for doing our sound editing.